Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
The word tested is a word that means to prove the genuineness of, or to prove the character of, the quality of it. It was to prove the quality of it. Not whether he had it, but let's prove the quality of it. There's a big difference in a test and a temptation, though they can often feel the same or even work together. A temptation is something sent by the enemy to stumble you, to make you fall. That's his desire, temptation. A test is from the Lord. It's for us to make us stand. One to make you stumble, the other to make you stand. The enemy wants to trip you up, but God wants to build you up.
Pastor Troy starts off by telling us that trials are necessary because they show us the truth about ourselves. The enemy wants to trip us up with temptation, but God wants to build us up with testing. Abraham was a good example of God's testing. He asked Abraham to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. So, what is your Isaac? Is there something you have your eyes so fixed on you can't get rid of it? If you're not sure, give it into God's hands. He may or may not give it back. You have to trust that He has a plan. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Genesis chapter 22 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We're going to talk about Abraham again today. He wasn't the father of faith for no reason. See, Abraham was not only called to leave his place, which we talked about, and to live a life of faith, but guess what? When he was exercising faith, his faith was also tested. He had tests on his faith. It wasn't enough just to leave everything, but at some point, there were tests, and this one was a big one. It's easy to trust God and to look good and to tell everyone how much you do trust the Lord when things are going well in your life. Maybe things are going the way you'd like them to go in your life. Easy to talk about faith. But when adversity comes, when trials come, when things aren't going your way, that's when we find out what someone's faith is really made of. It's true that we won't endure the great tribulation, which is good news, but we will all experience trials, tribulation on the earth. In the form of pain and suffering and testings. And guess what? You don't have to look for them. If you're in a hurry for your faith to grow, you don't have to look for these things. They will come to you. He knows exactly what you need. You can do everything right and they will still come. I mean, we never do everything right. We think we do. There's a way that seems right to a man. We don't. But the trials, the testings, they will come. Sometimes, in fact, it'll come in such a wave that it will cause you to drop to your knees and cry out to the God and say, Lord, what in all of your wisdom would you allow this for? Why this? Why this much? Why this hard? It happens even to the Christian. There's a story of a woman who was known as Saint Teresa back in the 16th century. She was a missionary and went in and experienced great persecution and just had a very difficult time in ministry. And she loved the Lord, obviously, and that's why she persevered. But she wrote one time as she was on a train after having endured so much persecution in the mission field. She said, Lord, if this is the way you treat your friends, no wonder you don't have very many. She loved the Lord, and she knew better. That wasn't the end of her heart. It was just a real response, like, my goodness, Lord, I'm supposed to be on your side. You know, I'm trying to follow you, and you're not making it like real easy for me. But his desire isn't to make it easy for you any more than if I have cutting knives, I want to take it real, real easy on them. I want them to do their job, which is to cut. And when they're not cutting or when I need finer cuts over time, I'm going to sharpen them. That's going to take away some of the steel. It's going to shave it down so that it functions. It does what it should do. Otherwise, it's useless. And in our lives, testings, trials are necessary because they show us the truth about ourselves. So there's a humbling factor there. Oh, no, no, they don't show us the truth about everybody else, about ourselves. We're the ones who need the humbling, not the other person. They might need it too, but the reason they're not, maybe God's still using them, you know, to be a thorn in your flesh to humble you. Anytime our feathers get ruffled, it's a sign we've got more humbling that's needed in our own life. Jesus said, the sun rises on the good and evil. It falls on the just and unjust alike. It's all the same. We all get it. You're not the only one. In fact, sometimes somebody says, that person's a thorn in my flesh, and the other person's saying, man, that person's a thorn in my flesh. We're all equal. We're all going through difficult things. If you're going through a trial, you can know someone else is going through a trial. Maybe the person that's causing you the trial is going through another trial you don't know anything about. We need to understand that if we're going to be people of faith, trials and testings, they're just part of the development and the proving the genuineness of our faith and the strength of that faith. It's been said, God prepares great men for great tasks by great trials. So we're going to look at a great man of faith, Abraham, and find out a few things about his faith. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. The first thing that we want to note about our faith, or Abraham's faith, his faith was tested. He was the father of faith. You could say it was kind of invented through him, but his faith was still tested, and so why not ours? The word tested is a word that means to prove the genuineness of, or to prove the character of, the quality of it. It was to prove the quality of it. Not whether he had it, but let's prove the quality of it. There's a big difference in a test and a temptation, though they can often feel the same or even work together. A temptation is something sent by the enemy to stumble you, to make you fall. That's his desire, temptation. A test is from the Lord. It's for us to make us stand. One to make you stumble, the other to make you stand. The enemy wants to trip you up, but God wants to build you up. And both are necessary. A temptation is necessary to stumble you, but a trial, a test is necessary to build you. And guess what? We're not going to stay right down the center. We're going to experience temptations and trials. In fact, you can view trials as a vote of confidence from the Lord. See, he says that he'll never put more on us than we can handle. So if we have this great trial, you can't go, Lord, I have more than I can handle. Well, it wasn't God who put more on you than you can handle. If you're in it, and if he's permitted it, you can handle it. If it's a temptation, he's made a way of escape. Take it. But if it's a trial and a test, he's given you what you need to endure it. If he knows you can lift 100 pounds, he will never put 400 pounds on you. Listen to what Peter wrote. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, see that, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. At the end of all of that, it's like God doesn't need to know who's good and bad. He knows good eggs from bad eggs. Now, my wife said, because we'll gather eggs every now and then. And sometimes they're out there a day, a couple of days or whatever. I'm like, when? How long has the egg been out there? I'm not eating that thing. And so she says, I'm a city guy, okay? This is all too much for me. But we gather these eggs, you bring them in, and then she says there's ways to tell, and there's something you do with floating or something like that. Anyway, there's a way to tell. Now, God doesn't need at the end of time to go, drop, oh, bad egg, drop. He knows. But it seems like for the sake of unity, although we'll all trust the Lord, everyone's going to have been tested so that everyone's going to be able to say, yep, I know exactly why they're in heaven and they're not. We saw the test. We saw the results. We're all in unity. We know the standard. We saw the tests. Enough said. And God is God. So, just as fire refines precious metals, God uses trials to test and refine the faith of a man and woman. In the East Coast, Atlantic cod became a very popular dish. So popular, in fact, that on the West Coast, they wanted it. They wanted it shipped in. And so they thought, all right, moneymaker. They began to ship them in. They froze them and shipped them over. The problem was it lost a lot of flavor. So they thought, well, it's because they're dead. We need live ones. So they shipped them in tanks across the country, tanks of seawater. But they still found that the texture was not the same. It was mushy and still lost some flavor as a result. So they said, how do we create the environment? Well, they realized that they had a natural enemy in the catfish. They were always, you know, going around with one another. And so they put some catfish in the tank. And when, you know, over the course of traveling the country, there they are, always moving, always staying in shape. So that when they got to the other side, there was that flavor. Not only did they have to be alive, but they had to exercise. They had to be on the run, a little fearful. My question with this is, has God appointed a catfish in your tank? Maybe so, huh? Why did this thing happen? Why this? Why would you allow this, Lord? It's because your faith is being tested. Whether it's genuine, how strong it is so that it can be built up. You know, some Christians, they get stuck on wondering when trials come on, is this the enemy? Is this the enemy? Oh, maybe it's the Lord. No, maybe it's the enemy. Maybe it's the Lord. I don't know. We don't know. The important thing is not where is it from, because God is sovereign. The important thing is what you do with it.
Stay tuned to hear more from today's teaching on Building on the Solid Rock. Pastor Troy Neely has been sharing insights from God's Word with us. He'll have much more to share in the next part of this message. We are so glad you've tuned in today. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged by what you've heard. If you've been touched by this program, or if you have any questions about Building on the Solid Rock, we'd love to hear from you. Send an email to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can also find out more about this program by visiting buildingonthesolidrock.com. Listen to previous teachings as well, and even subscribe to our podcast. Now here's Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
rock. We need to stop getting stuck on where is it from and start responding right in it, no matter what it is. If it's a temptation, something you shouldn't do, flee. You have a way out. If you can't handle sitting there with the mouse in hand, no one else there, go. Grab lunch. Better to pay 8, 10, 15 bucks for dinner than to stay stuck on a computer doing things that you really should not be doing. There's a way. Take it. See, we do have an enemy. And there are times where God allows the enemy because it works according to his plan for the purpose ultimately of a test, like Job. Job's faith was tested, and Job passed. Paul the apostle, Paul said, I have a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, not a test from God, a messenger from Satan to buffet me. And I asked God to remove it, but God said, nope, I'm not going to remove it. My grace is sufficient. Perhaps Paul needed that. Maybe to stay humble. Who knows? Joseph, sold into slavery by his own brothers, ended up in the home of Potiphar, blamed for something that he didn't do and tried to avoid. He did flee. Still got blamed because of the power in the home. thrown into an Egyptian prison. Many get mad at Satan, and they try to yell at him, and they get very negative, angry, and they don't respond godly. Joseph responded godly. It wasn't his fault. He didn't do anything to get himself there. But instead of getting mad at some invisible enemy, he kept his eyes on the Lord. He understood that God is sovereign. And this has happened, I don't know why, but in the end, he knew why. Because when his brothers were all there before him, he said, "You meant it for evil, but I see God meant it for good, to save a nation." He had bigger plans, and a man like Joseph could be used because so many others would bail out, get mad at Satan, quit, walk away. They can't hang in there. That wasn't true for Joseph. Now, let's look at our, let's go kind of flashback to Genesis 22, 1 through 14. We'll project it for you if you want, or you can turn there yourself. Now, it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told them. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. We will come back to you." So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." He said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And now about this time, Isaac's probably still thinking, "All right, God will provide one," but now he's being bound as the offering. Abraham built an altar, placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." You know he was. And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." I can't imagine this as a father, what it would feel like to actually think, "I am going to plunge a knife into my child." I just can't even wrap my brain around that. But we have to remember that this is a test. It's only a test. God never ordained human sacrifice. He never okayed it. He didn't allow it here. In fact, he judged nations because of such things. So this was a test. What was really going on is God was putting his finger on the most sensitive area, most sensitive thing in Abraham's heart, his son Isaac. Isaac had become too important to him. And God put his finger on that. Do you have an Isaac? What is your Isaac? I guess it's a better question, not do you? What is it? What is your Isaac? Don't be surprised if God puts his finger on it. You might say, "Well, then, I don't know if I want to be all in for the Lord if he's going to put his finger on my Isaac, on those things that are so important to me." But listen, the God that you say you follow and believe in, will have no rivals. It says God will have no rivals. None. Even that thing that you may lift so high. No competition. And God will test, and he will call you out to test your love for him, your trust in him, whether you value him and put your priorities in him or not. Yes, he will. So many say, I love this so much. God loves me. He would never ask this of me. Yes, he would. Now, love, it's not a fuzzy feeling. Not the kind of love that is real, substantial. Not the agape love that God loves us with and asks us to love him with. It's not that fuzzy feeling. God is not, after a church service, going to catch up with you and say, did you have warm and fuzzy feelings during worship? Did you get there? Did you get there? Oh, good, then you love me. He's not concerned how you felt. Like, I got warm and fuzzy today. Oh, the sound was just right. Oh, that song. He's not concerned. There are so many factors that can make us feel good. The world has concerts and the people cry and wail and show their lamps and are in love with each other. They're kind to one another because of some lyric. So that's not what he wants. Scripture says that if you love me, you'll obey me. You'll listen to me. Now, our love for God is tested by what we actually do. How we live, whether we prioritize him. And it's not always tested by what we're willing to give. Because for some of us, we'll give a whole lot as long as I can hold on to these things. I will give a lot. Just let me hold on to these. I'll give everything. Just let me hold on to these. Sometimes it's actually tested by what we're willing to give up, let go of. And yes, he does ask us to let go of things. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength? Jesus said this, Matthew 10:37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. When these things, we're to love them. We're commanded to love and honor and respect. Honor and respect the parents. We're to do that. But if they become more significant, more important, what they think matters more, all of this, then God, there's a distraction there. There's a wrong sense of priorities. Hey, in the same way, we can do that with our children. When our world revolves around only the kids, so that God is not worshiped and honored and glorified and put first, that's what happened with Abraham. He had forgotten that it was God who made the promises. It was God who blessed him with that child. So I'll never have you put the child last, but do not put him first. Your eyes, it could be any number of things. It could be a home. It could be some goal you're trying to attain to or some position. It could be a person. I want to be married. It could be some credential that you're working for. Our eyes, it can be anything that our eyes are fixed upon that we just won't let go of. Here's a way to test, just the same way God tested Abraham. Give it up. Let it go. Put that thing in God's hands.
We are so glad you joined us today for Pastor Troy's study in the book of Hebrews. If you missed any part of today's teaching or would like to explore other Building on the Solid Rock messages, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. You'll also find information about Pastor Troy and the church behind this ministry, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. If you're in the San Antonio area, we'd love to have you join us for one of our weekly services. We meet Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. to worship Jesus and learn all we can from the Word. You'll find location information and driving directions at buildingonthesolidrock.com. From all of us here at Building on the Solid Rock, we'd like to say thank you for tuning in today. We pray you continue to seek and find God's hand in your life and that you enjoy learning more about Him every day. Join us again as Pastor Troy continues sharing from the book of Hebrews, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.